Welcome to the PDP Podcast, brought to you by Professional Dairy Producers, dairy's professional development organization.
Weight gain, lack of sleep, a brain fog, just not being my optimal self. These have really been playing on my mind and my focus lately, just because of the stress that we're all living in. And I personally am living in also with things of the world and the activities around us. It feels like we're so divided, all the stress of doing business and getting things done with other people. My gosh, what about me? And how am I setting myself up for success in dealing with all of this, especially being at my optimal level? These are the challenges. And if they're not done properly, and if they're not done on purpose, then we will live with brain fog and not being our best mentally, that we will carry weight that we don't necessarily need to have or should have on us. We will not get the proper sleep and the proper rest and the proper body functions that we need to be our optimal self. And if we want to be successful in our families, and if we want to be successful in our business, we have to become masters of these as opposed to victims of the circumstances. That's the topic of our podcast today. This is Michael Hoffman. I am president of a company called Igniting Performance. I've been working as a partner with PDPW for the last, 4 or 5 years, just on the topics of optimal performance, especially through people. One of my favorite observations in working with some of the leaders in farms around this country is that we take great pride in this industry of really being mayor of Cowtown. You know, the technology and the advancements and the heart that we have in dealing with our bovine friends and helping them be a part of feeding the world, we have become very, very efficient at knowing everything about our cows, everything from their happiness to their production levels and the level of protein and the level of fat and who's sick and where are they at physically. I could find everything I need to find about any cow in my particular barn. Well, what about the people? What about the people that we work with? What about the people that we spend most of our time with getting things done through people? Are we mayor of that town as well? And that's sort of the focus of my particular podcasts. All of them will be either on how we interact and get things done with other people. What's our communication skills like? How are we setting each other up for success? How can we be better partners? Or us ourselves? You know, what are you doing to set yourself up for success? You know, being at that level of performance where you just feel great and you're able to take on all the challenges that we face every day and do the Herculean effort that it takes to be successful in this world. I want to start with you in this little series. I want to start with us, the individual. You know, you taking time to stop the horrific tornado that we live in just for a moment and in a couple of minutes of podcast, basically just get reminded that we are not the victims of our success. We are the creators of our success. And we are the creators of our own condition, our mental condition, our physical condition, our spiritual condition. We are in direct control of that. We are not the victims of that, even though that seems to be the narrative in the world these days, that the victim mentality of let me tell you why I can't. Let me tell you why I am forced to feel this way. Let me tell you why I don't have dot, dot, dot. And I think this concept have snuck into our psyche and our personage, and it's had a real impact on us taking ownership for our time. You know, I'm not responsible for the world. I'm not responsible for so many things in this life. I'm not responsible for the elections. I'm not responsible for how my city, you know, views how we should see other people. I am responsible for knowing why I think the way I think, why I do what I do, why I feel the way I feel, and act accordingly. Because that will have an impact on all those other things. I am not responsible for the world, but I am responsible for me and those that are within my influence. And that's sort of the approach that we're going to take. And today I want to start with you. Personally, because I think you deserve it, honestly. I mean, we rarely as a species take time to really focus on ourselves and what we do on purpose to set ourselves up for success. And so I want to talk specifically about your habits, your routines, especially in the morning, to sort of set you off on a path to having your best day and to be in optimal health. You know, there have been some things that have happened in my life over the last, couple of years that have really caught my attention and have given me pause to really focus on what do I do on purpose to allow myself to be successful. And it starts with food, the amount of food that you eat, the type of food that you eat. I personally have been going through some physical issues that have really caught my attention to how I set myself up for success, especially with food. So there's going to be a couple of topics that I want to talk about today. And the question I'm asking is, what are your routines? What are the choices that you make on a daily basis, especially in the morning, that set yourself up for success? So there's going to be a couple of topics I want to bring up, some ideas that you can add to your bag and some things that you can do on purpose to be successful. And so the first one is your food. Let's pay attention to our food. Let's get that back on the table, so to speak, and really, really ask the question, are you giving yourself the type of fuel that you need to be successful? Are you using food, and this was my issue, to take care of feelings? I eat my feelings. So whenever I'm stressed, I'm shoving something in my mouth. It's a very, very big deal with me. And I know it is for a lot of you too. But it really, even if it's not, it brings up the topic of what are you literally putting in your mouth that is fuel for your body as opposed to a cushion for your feelings. So, you know, the old mom's adage that I heard growing up all the time was you literally eat on the out circle of a supermarket, because that's where the raw earth foods are. Your meats and your vegetables specifically are on the circle, on the outside of the circle of a supermarket. Everything in the middle is processed. And really the rule is to consider that the more things are touched, the more processed they are. And that's where the problem really fits in, especially on an American diet, that we eat way too much processed foods and not enough of the raw-er foods, even though those are becoming issues as well. Organic versus non-organic, what does organic mean? Is it really organic? All those issues. So my charge to you today is to start to pay attention to that. Get into, and I'm going to say this a lot, YouTube University, look up what it means to purchase the right foods, to look at the right foods, to ask myself, what are my eating habits? How am I setting myself up? Find a guru, pick a plan, and to stay with it. It's had massive impact on me. You know, I'm a big man. I'm 6'2", and my peak weight was, I think, 310. I knew there was an issue, and most of you who have seen me on stage, I'm a very big guy. I've got a lot of energy, which has really been a blessing because I'm a big man. Sometimes I've been weighing up to 300 pounds, but I was getting a reputation of the big sweaty guy because when you do have a lot of weight and you carry a lot of weight, you have a tendency to sweat more. When you're up on stage and you're basically giving it 110% and you're under a lot of lights, you have a tendency to really sweat. And I was known for that. It really bugged me. And it bugged me that there was nothing I could quote unquote do about it. And it all comes down to food. So I've really been putting an effort into watching what I eat. And it hasn't really been a big switch. It's just been paying attention. And so you hear things that you can add to your bag. Like some people that I love to follow would say things like breakfast, you eat like a king, lunch, you eat like a queen, and dinner, you eat like a pauper. That's something that everybody can add to their bag and say, okay, how am I doing it? There's some people that say, I don't eat until 11 o'clock because I like that morning fast. And so breakfast is literally what it was meant to be, breaking the fast, and they give themselves a little bit more of that fast from the time they go to sleep to the time they eat to really allow their bodies to sort of use that energy that they have stored around their midsections and everywhere else to before they give it more fuel. Whatever your pattern is, pay attention to what you eat and how you eat it and when you eat it. I think that's a really good place to start is what are you doing to fuel your body as opposed to soothe your body? Because there's a place for both. I mean, I'm a big foodie. I love food. I'm a judge of food. I mean, I really, really do enjoy. But I also want to put it in its perspective. The other thing that I really want to talk about is a couple extra tips. Number one that I've really been not only listening to but paying attention to in my own life that have had big impact. One of them is watching what I eat, and that's had a massive impact. I've dropped 25 pounds, and it took a month and a half to do that. So it's actually falling off quite a bit. And all I'm doing is just paying attention to the amount and the type of food that I'm eating, not even doing anything else. The other thing is my sleep. what type of sleep am I getting? How much sleep am I getting? And is it quality sleep? I think that one of the ahas that really impacted me in paying attention to sleep is where we lose weight. Comes out in our breath as our body processes the fat from the fat cells and the cleaning of the muscles. It basically comes out in our breath. It's one of the reasons why you have really bad morning breath is because you're breathing out all the toxins. So it's that plus your body flushing that out. So that good morning void that you have, it's the day after where you've had an entire night where your body has focused on cleansing, cleansing, cleansing. Well, if we don't give ourselves that time to do that time for that mental reset, that time for that physical reset, if we're not getting sleep or good sleep, then our body doesn't have a time to catch up. So we end up gaining weight. We end up not being refreshed. We end up not having our body doing what it needs to do to sort of cleanse ourselves to get that going. So I want to bring sleep up to your radar. What type of sleep are you getting? And are you getting enough? Some people in a lot of studies will say that 8 hours is really still the optimal. You should be getting 8 hours of sleep, but I've lived on 6 hours for a long, long time. So if I can get at least six, I'm a happy man. But 8, I really do feel a difference in my energy levels, in what I can deliver with, and what can sustain me all day. I am 61 years old now, so I have a tendency to have that afternoon slump. And since I've been focusing on my physicality and the way that I take care of myself, I don't have that anymore. And a lot of it I attribute it to is the amount of sleep and the quality of the sleep. So pay attention to that. And what it comes down to is this. I'm going to throw out a term here that I'm not an expert on, but I've been doing a lot of research on, and there's a lot of research about this. So I love reading white papers. I love reading medical journals on this particular thing, especially if something catches my attention. And I love hearing, you know, the health gurus about this particular topic. And the term is circadian rhythm. Let's all write that down. Circadian rhythms. Your circadian rhythm is basically your body functioning together as one organism, everything working together, the rhythms of your body and your day and your sleep and everything functioning the way that it's supposed to function. And it comes down to a clock. Every cell has a circadian rhythm clock. Every organ has a clock. Everything that we're metabolizing, every function has a clock. And when our systems and our clocks are working together, our bodies have a tendency to be optimized. That's why there are some people that you look at and you go, my gosh, I could do anything, I can eat anything, and I'm just, you know, my body takes care of itself. Well, mainly because their body is functioning very, very well together. Everything in the internal is working in the external. We can reset our clocks on a daily basis. And I know this sounds kind of woo-woo. It really did to me at first. But the more that I looked into it, the more that the amount of research on this is just overwhelming in big medical health. And it's not just one area. It's all over. Look up John Hopkins. Look up Stanford. Look up, there's a lot of medical things that have this sort of support behind what we can do to get our bodies to become in sync. And so I've got a couple ideas for you. Number one is breathing. The way we have our breath patterns, the way we train our body to receive oxygen and to get enough oxygen has a massive impact, especially around brain fog during the day. Believe it or not, studies show that we walk around without the amount of oxygen that we need, even though we breathe every day. Because, and see if you can get your heads around this one, because it really, the light bulbs went on for me. We are so stressed and so tense that it has a physiological impact on the way that we breathe. From our chest, right below our chest, right below our lungs, is a muscle called our diaphragm. It's the muscle that sort of separates our lung cavity from our internal organs, all of them, your intestines and your pancreas and all the good stuff down there. And it's this muscle there that actually helps you breathe. When people say breathe from your diaphragm, this is what they're talking about. When you take a deep breath, what's actually happening physically is your diaphragm is pulling on your lungs. Your lungs are basically two sacs. When your diaphragm contracts, it stretches your lungs, which creates a vacuum, and you breathe in. And you breathe in through this vacuum. Well, what happens when we are under stress is subconsciously we go to protect body center. It's why we cross our arms. It's why our hands come in. Whenever we get concerned or we get stressed or we get attacked, everything gets tight and everything comes in. Well, that impacts that muscle because it is a muscle. So what happens is we don't pull down as much and we don't take a deep breath when we're under stress. So what happens is our shoulders have to compensate. So our shoulders go up. And if you were right now, do an exercise, take a deep breath. And if your shoulders moved at all, then you're experiencing that, you know, what we were just talking about, where your shoulders have to create the activity or the cavity to create that vacuum. So what's happening is we're using our shoulders to breathe, which is a shallower breath. It's still breathing. It's still getting its oxygen into our lungs, but it's not as deep. It's not as full, and it becomes a shallow breath. As a matter of fact, if you were to duplicate a panicked breathing right now, just pretend like you're panicking and breathe. We'd go, notice our stomach is not moving at all. It's our chest. We got to get out of here. That is a panicked breath. It's a shallow breath. It's what our body uses to get us quick gulps of energy, quick gulps of oxygen to give our bodies that energy that we need to fight or flight. Well, believe it or not, we live most of our day like this. And we have to consciously almost retrain ourselves to learn to relax our diaphragm and take deeper breaths. We're not getting enough oxygen on a daily basis, which is why you hear so many talking about breathing and breathing exercises and a breathing system where on a daily basis, especially in the morning, you do breath work. And breath work is essentially on purpose taking the time to give your body the oxygen it needs on a regular basis, especially the morning. So I've got a little exercise for you. Add this to your morning routine. And that is, take 5 minutes and start off with a couple and then gradually increase that from 1 minute to 5 minutes, but where you're literally starting your day, where you're doing breath exercises. Just stand still and have a deep inhale. Doesn't have to be through your nose or through your mouth. I don't care you get it, but inhale deeply and exhale gently. You know, take more air in than you're letting go. All right. So a great exercise is to take a deep breath in, hold it for a count of four, and then to gently exhale as much as you can, and then hold it for a count of four, and then just relax. You don't have to push it. Just relax and take a deep breath, hold it for four, and then relax and hold it for four. This type of breath work basically infuses your body with the oxygen that it needs. You're gonna feel lightheaded when you first start to do it. This helps with meditation, which is basically getting our minds set. And it gives us, believe it or not, more control over our body because we're giving our body its most essential products. And number one is oxygen, is breath. So that's a wonderful exercise I've added to my bag that has really helped. Next, it's water. This is an incredibly important topic and one in which it may seem very common, but very few of us are getting enough of it. Water is essential for life. It's more important than food. If you've ever heard the example, we can live for 3 weeks without food, we can't live 3 days without water. It's that important to our body's function and our body's ability to cleanse itself and our basically just overall health. So what is the appropriate amount of water and how do you drink it? Well, a few tips for you. Number one, drinking water is essentially important throughout the day. And so I recommend this little pattern, which has really helped me. And that is 8 ounces of water per hour for the first 10 to 12 hours of the day. Make sure that you hydrate your entire day. The rate and volume of which you drink during the day is directly connected to the rate that you process fluids. So throughout the day, you can gulp it, you can sip it, but drink it, because if we're not giving ourselves the tools that it needs to do the flushing, it really shows up, especially in our sleep. Now, I really recommend, and this has been big for me, that after about 10 hours of waking hours, reduce your intake to about 3 to 5 ounces and try to sip along the way. So you don't have to drink the volumes that you were doing during the day and it makes you satiated, but 3 to 5 is better, but reduce it before you go to sleep, especially for the 5 hours before you go to sleep, because your body is processing and then it's going to make you wake up and get rid of it. So water is essential. Oh my gosh. And I know some of us, my father was big on this. He hated drinking water, just hated drinking. He said he'd drink his water by drinking scotch, which is not the same, even though I do concur that, if we can make that work, I'm right behind you. But it's not the same. Water is there really is no substitute. So however you do it, whether you're making tea or you've got to hide it some way in other fluids like lemonades or any of those types of things, fine. But make sure you're drinking your water every day. A good rule is to think about your body weight in half for the amount of ounces you should be drinking, up to 120 ounces. That was given to me by a person who was really big into weight loss. They said you should be drinking water right now because you're trying to flush all the toxins and the fat and everything else out of your body. And her rule, which actually was very effective, was you're not even close to drinking enough water. Take your body weight, divide it in half, and that's the amount of ounces you should be drinking every day, up to 120. Now, that's a lot of water. And you'll have to pace it out. But my gosh, did it have a big impact on me. So drink your water. Okay, so we talked about breath. We talked about water. We talked about getting enough sleep. The last thing I really want to add to your bag as far as tool sets is something around your circadian rhythms that help tremendously. And that is a wonderful routine in the morning that has helped me. It's part grounding. It's part photosynthesis. But your circadian rhythm is actually a biological thing that's happened. I know I'm saying this wrong, but a photosynthesis ganglion cells that are deep in your brain that are triggered by light. And a habit that I started, at least a half a year ago, that has had, I think, tremendous impact on my energy levels during the day and my ability to sleep soundly is this one last little tip. And that is to reset your circadian rhythms and your clocks every day by the first thing in the morning, catching the morning light. I literally get grounded. I take my shoes off. I walk out on the lawn and I take off my glasses because I don't want anything between me and that morning light of coming into my eyes. The amount of and the type of UV rays that happen in the morning light, not the ones that are very strong where you can't look at the sun. I don't want you looking at the sun. You're going to hurt yourself. But in the morning, the UV rays are a lot different, coming in at a different level. And I open my eyes to literally sunlight in the morning that resets all of my circadian rhythms and my circadian clocks deep within my brain, and my entire body gets set up in itself. And the way you can tell this is working is because it sets it up for about 18 hours. Your body will literally want to go to sleep in about 18 hours. It's the weirdest thing. And you will sleep deeper. You will get more rest in your sleep. But I can really, truly feel myself getting into a rhythm by doing this one morning routine, and that is getting out in the morning, grounding myself by putting my feet next to the dirt. Oh my gosh, we live on farms. Get out, take off your shoes and go stand on the ground. Nothing between me and the electromagnetic fields in the earth and helping that reset my own clocks internally and externally. And what it will do is it'll give me a more powerful impact. I will fall asleep easier and I will wake up in the day more refreshed. Getting outside is imperative. Artificial light will not replace the sunlight to turn on those cortisol mechanisms. And cortisol is what's happening. When I let the light in the mornings, especially in the mornings, it gives me a cortisol spike. And that cortisol spike happens throughout the day, but I want it to happen earlier in the day because that is the chemical that is directly connected with stress. And I want that cortisol spike in the morning because it sets me up for a calmer day, a more focused day, and my rhythm gets into a better lockstep because of that cortisol spike in the morning. And it happens because of that grounding and that light experience in the morning. Artificial light doesn't work as much as possible. They're bright enough to disrupt my sleep. Like, for instance, if I have lights on in the house, if I have especially my phone in front of my face, that blue light will disrupt my sleep, but it's not enough to give my internal workings that cortisol spike that I need. So it's eye biology. In the morning, you need a lot of light. You really do. You need a lot of light. But at night, you don't. Obviously, you're trying to tell your body it's time to go to sleep. So one little tip I'm going to throw in there is you get your morning light and then do not have your phone near your bed when you're going to sleep because of the circadian rhythm. The blue light from your phone actually messes with the clocks that you've done so much work to kind of set up. So do what you need to do with your phone about an hour before you go to bed and then plug it in and recharge it somewhere that's not on your nightstand because that blue light is going to disrupt everything that you've done in the beginning. On a cloudy day, believe it or not, it still works. You can definitely get the cortisol spike that you need, but you definitely have to get out and do a little bit more light. So in general, on a clear day, 5 minutes of exposure is really what you're going to need. I do 10. On a cloudy day, 10 minutes will work. Do 15. On a rainy day, maybe 20 of exposure, but it still works. So even on cloudy days, you know, get outside. Now, I know some of us work and live up in the north, and so it's very difficult to get out, especially on snowy days. So as a last resort, get near a window, but only on occasion. You really try not to have barriers between you and your eyes. So take your glasses off, especially no sunglasses, which are designed to block the UV rays. I literally want the exposure coming in literally through my eyes and into those deep ganglion cells that trigger that cortisone spike. That's what I'm looking for. So, okay, campers, that's a good group of things to add to your morning routine. And so I'm going to leave you with this. What are your routines in your morning? What do you do to set yourself up for success? What are you doing in the mornings to sort of give yourself that advantage physiologically, mentally, to be the best and the most optimized you that you can be? What are your sleep patterns like? Are you sleeping well? Are you getting enough? Are you allowing yourself that 8 hours? Are you breathing properly? Are you giving yourself enough oxygen? Are you paying attention to the food that you're adding to basically fuel your life? Are you going out of your way to add what your body needs to get into that rhythm, that great circadian rhythm that sets yourself up for success? Wake up in the morning, take your shoes off, get outside, give yourself some light therapy, breathe, add it all together. You can do it all at the same time. Do your breath exercises, do your grounding, take in some water before you get started in the day, and you watch what happens to your brain fog. You watch what happens to your energy levels. You watch what happens to how you feel in the evening when you're actually ready to go to bed and get a good, deep night's sleep. I hope these have been helpful. You know, starting as a person of influence is starting with ourselves. And I hope and pray that you set yourself up to be the best person you could possibly be. Why? Because this world needs you. We need you to love loud, and we need you to be the best that you can be. Until we talk again, God bless.
Our thanks to Michael Hoffman of Igniting Performance for today's message on the PDP Weekly Podcast. For more on Michael, head to his website at ignitingperformance.com. And for archive podcasts and more on the professional dairy producers, head to pdpw.org. Until next time, have a great week.